Let us pray to the Lord together. So, Father God, we do ask that you teach us now from Scripture. Teach us how to pray. Encourage us that you hear us. It's a big subject. What is prayer? We don't have much time, but just teach us something now, we pray. Amen. I'm going to start with a question. Who finds it easy not to pray? Be honest. Who finds it easy not to pray? I think some people aren't being that honest. I find it very easy not to pray. I easily get distracted. So often I find something else crops up that seems to demand my urgent attention, and that stops me praying. And when an urgency hits us that demands attention, it's easy to think, well, I must get cracking. No time to pray first. Bill Hybels has written this book, and I think the title says it all. Too Busy Not to Pray? It's a very apt title, isn't it? But he begins this book with these words. He says, prayer is an unnatural activity. You might ask, why? Why is prayer unnatural? One reason, I think, is because prayer requires us to come to God as little children. Confessing that we're a bit weak, that we need help. Society, of course, tells us that we should be self-reliant people. That's how we're brought up. So prayer, therefore, is an act that goes against that natural instinct to be self-reliant. It requires us to say we're helpless. It requires humility. Prayer is also unnatural in the sense that it is supernatural. When we pray, we're coming into the presence of Almighty God to speak to him. Now, we're sinful people, so we're going to find that difficult. And then we've got the evil one. The evil one loves to distract us. How many of us find that our minds wander when we pray? In many ways, prayer is unnatural. And yet at the same time, prayer should be, can be, and in fact is the most natural thing in the world. And when we see what happened in Manchester or in Egypt this week, when those acts of terrorism occur, people pray. Naturally. Maybe it's because at times such as this we realise how vulnerable we are, weak and helpless we are, that we live in a dangerous world. And at times like that we then feel the instinct that we are little children and all we can do is run to our loving Father. So although prayer at times is unnatural, at other times it's the most natural thing in the world. And as we reflect on what Jesus has to say about prayer in Luke chapter 11, if you want to follow, that was page 1042. We will see just how natural prayer is. Especially if we're in a relationship with God, prayer will be natural, or should be natural, because that is what we are in as Christians. We're in a relationship with God. And Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, tells us that prayer is all about relationship. Just look at how he starts the Lord's Prayer. He tells us to begin by saying, Father, or Our Father. Now, isn't that marvellous? Our Father. We don't come trembling before some horrible God who has little time for us. Prayer is about being in a relationship with a loving Father. And we can call him our Father. How awesome is that? We're in a relationship. And yes, he may be the creator God of the universe. But he says, you are my children if you come to me and believe in me. I sometimes see it. I was just thinking, they're not here this morning, but I sometimes see when Bryony runs to Francis in church. Francis doesn't just turn around and say, push off. No, her face lights up when she sees her daughter run to her. And it's the same for God with us. He loves it when we come and talk to him. So I hope this encourages you to pray more. Prayer is about coming into the presence of our loving parent and talking to him or just being with him. Now, of course, when we do come and pray, sometimes we're like toddlers, aren't we? We do stutter and stumble. We don't know what words to use. Don't know if you've ever found that. You just can't get the words out. Our reading from Romans 8 says, that's fine. God knows we're weak. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So Romans 8 says we too often don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. I remember many years ago praying in a small group, and one girl there just couldn't get the words out properly. She'd shared the prayer request, and then she started praying. And it was something like, oh God, please help my friend, please just, oh please God, just, please just. But we knew what she meant. And the Holy Spirit was taking those jumbled words and translating them into perfect language. And that is what the Father in heaven heard. Yeah, he knows our hearts. Sometimes words are incidental. I suspect that there may be some people here who don't come along to a church prayer meeting. Either you're thinking that, it's far too holy. I can assure you we're not holy, those in the prayer meeting. Don't wish to be rude to people who come. But we're not. We're just the same as everybody else. We're just children in the presence of our Father. Maybe you don't come along because you think, oh, I can't pray out loud. I will sound silly. Well, two things to say about that. One, Romans 8 says, if you do pray out loud and your words come out jumbled, well, so what? It's not about impressing everyone in the prayer group. It's about bringing our needs to God. And of course, you don't ever have to pray out loud in one of our prayer meetings. Just come and be with us. Say amen to other people's prayers. And just join us. God wants his children to gather together in his presence. He wants to hear from us. And we can easily just pray silently. God still hears. So what does Jesus say we should pray for? Coming back to the Lord's Prayer, let's go to verse 2. I'll bring the scripture back up. First things first, after saying, pray our Father, and asking for his name to be hallowed, we see the main thing, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. It's the title of this 10 days of prayer. What does that mean? I think there's two aspects to praying your kingdom come. One is looking to the future, and we're praying for Jesus to come back soon, because when he comes back, he will establish the everlasting kingdom of heaven. We heard about that at the beginning of the month when we looked at what is heaven. And everything will be put right. Everything will be fantastic. So one aspect of saying, thy kingdom come, is saying, come back soon, Jesus. Put everything right. Put things right where terrorists won't kill little girls at concerts. That's one aspect. The other aspect of praying, thy kingdom come, is this. We're praying for God's will to be done here and now on earth. For God's kingdom to start breaking in early. So we ask, what is God's will? Well, we know what God's will is, by and large. It will include justice and fairness for all. It will include peacemaking, looking after the poor, godly behaviour, loving your neighbour. But what it particularly includes is praying for more people to come to know Jesus Christ. Because if the kingdom of God is all about people being in right relationship with God, worshipping him as not only Father, but as the true King of this world, well then that's what we've got to pray for. We've got to pray for people to be in that relationship. We were made to be in this relationship with God, but for most people in the world, that relationship is currently broken. That is why we see horrific acts. People don't see God as King or Father. They're heading down the wrong path. But praying thy kingdom come means praying that other people become Christian. We pray them into the kingdom. So as we're praying over this period of 10 days between Ascension Day and Pentecost, we're not only praying for blessing on our community, and we certainly are doing that, we're praying for more people to know Jesus. This is an excellent book on prayer. Paul Miller has written a book called A Praying Life. He makes this comment in it. He says, "The kingdom comes when Jesus becomes king of your life." Now, you might sometimes think, well, I don't follow my king very well. And he does say, look, your heart could be and often is askew. That's okay. You have to begin with what is real. He says Jesus didn't come for the righteous, he came for sinners, so all of us qualify. But in bringing your real self to Jesus, you give him the opportunity to work on the real you. So that is what it means to have Jesus as king of your life. Not to be perfect, but to be in a relationship and to let him work on you so that you can become more holy and that you can serve him in the world. The kingdom comes as more people come to know Jesus. Well, just briefly, what else does Jesus say we should pray for in the Lord's Prayer? He says we should pray, give us each day our daily bread. Is God only talking about bread? Of course not. He's talking about how we should ask God to meet all of our needs. It's a bit difficult these days. Today, when we have a need, and particularly a food need, we just pop down to Co-op. It's too easy to forget that all things come from God these days. It was, of course, different in years gone by. Praying, give us each day our daily bread, is showing our dependence upon our Father who provides for us. So let's learn again to pray for and be thankful for his wonderful provision for all our needs. And again, this is all about relationship. So verse 4, forgive us our sins. If we're to be in relationship with God, we do wrong things, we need to be forgiven. It means bringing our failures to him, our weaknesses. But we can do that confidently, can't we? Because he is a God of love and he sent Jesus to die to take away our sins. So we can say forgive us our sins in total confidence. But it's the second part, isn't it, of verse 4 that's difficult. We also forgive everyone who sins against us. As the people of God, we need to be reconciled with one another. So we need to forgive each other as well, because we're to be in relationship with each other. We should also pray that we're not led into temptation, that we're delivered from evil. We want to live holy lives pleasing to God. Well, there's plenty more in the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to suggest, I think, that the home groups spend some time looking at the Lord's Prayer in more detail in the autumn. But I want us to move on and listen to those wonderful words in verse 9 onwards. They are so encouraging. I'm just going to read them again. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" These verses tell us that God loves to hear us. He loves to answer our prayers. So we should ask more, shouldn't we? Of course, a big issue for many people is when God doesn't seem to answer. Why is that? Why does God sometimes seem not to answer? I'm going to just touch on that briefly, but I'm going to not deal really with it. If you want to hear more about that, come along on Wednesday evening to our prayer and praise gathering, or to the communion service on Thursday morning. I'll then talk in more detail about when prayer doesn't seem to work and what blocks prayer. What I want us to hear, though, this morning is that God loves to give to us what is good for us. So picture again this relationship. Picture a family around a dinner table. You've got your dad at one end, you're at the other end, there's all these other people around the dinner table, and near your dad, there is this wonderful smoked salmon. It looks delicious. So you say, "Father, could I please have a piece of that delicious fish?" What is your loving father going to do? Say no? Get out a little cage, get out the pet scorpion with its sting and throw that at you? Say, "Have that instead." It's a ludicrous picture, and Jesus means it to be ludicrous. He says, look, we have a good God who loves to give us good things. Our Father loves to be generous. Of course, if you're a child at the table and you haven't eaten your main course and you're trying to dig into the ice cream too early, the answer might be no. We need to trust that Father knows best. We also might think that something is good for us and it's not, in which case the answer might be no. But when we ask for what is good, God hears and loves to answer. We may have to wait sometimes to learn to appreciate what we're asking for and to learn faith, but he will answer. And Romans 8 tells us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And it goes on to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? That is the God who we're praying to. He knows what is good. He gives good gifts. So do we believe that? And if we do, are we praying for these good things? Now I want us to look at verse 13 a little bit more closely. What is the best gift of all we can ask our Heavenly Father for? This is promised to everybody who asks with open, genuine hearts. The best gift is the Holy Spirit. I just wonder how many have actually asked the Father for this, the greatest of gifts. The Holy Spirit is going to be the subject of next week's talk. It's the day of Pentecost next week. But just to say now that the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us now in our hearts. He's a down payment, a deposit of what we can look forward to in heaven. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes into our hearts, he brings God into our hearts and he brings God's power into our lives. So we can ask the Spirit to be more at work in us. We can go deeper with the Spirit. We can ask him to make us more like Jesus. Because this is what we were made for, a fuller experience where the Holy Spirit brings deeper fulfillment, deeper joy, deeper flourishing, and this kingdom will come more in us as we pray for the Spirit to infill us. Verse 13, we can see it. God promises to answer that prayer. The best gift of all. The Spirit, he enables us to become truly human. So this is something we need to pray for ourselves. Pray for the infilling of the Spirit. Now each of you has been given a piece of red cord today. And the colour is red. For deliberate reason. Red reminds us of the Holy Spirit. There are some at the back. If you didn't get one, do grab one on the way out or sneak up quietly at the time of communion. But I want you to look at your cords and remember that the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came down in tongues of fire. So red reminds us of the Spirit. And as you hold your red cord, do pray to be touched deeper by God's Spirit. We'll do that in a minute. But later on in the service, probably during the time of communion, before you come up or after you've received, take time to tie 5 knots in your cord. And each knot is to represent a person that you know who does not yet know Jesus. And every day, I encourage you to take out your piece of red cord, pray for the Spirit to go to take you deeper with God, to infill you. And then run your hands over each knot, and each knot in turn. Pray for that person to come to know Jesus. Let's just hear what Peter Gregg says about this.
There was a great preacher called D.L. Moody who had 100 friends who didn't know Jesus that he prayed for every day. And when one became a Christian, he just ticked their name off the list. By the time he died, 96 of those 100 had given their lives to Jesus. And at his funeral, the final 4 also became Christians. There's such power in prayer for our friends who don't yet know Jesus. And not just do it once in a while when you feel like it, but regularly, persevere with discipline. And so I'm going to tie these five knots in this leather strap and wear it to remind myself of just five friends I met who I want to come to know the good news of Jesus.
So let's pray for the Spirit to fill us. Let's pray for more people to know Jesus as Saviour, Friend, King. That is how God's kingdom will come. What I want to do with the remainder of our time today is just give a couple of tips that will help us to pray more intentionally, and to pray more productively. And tip number one is very simple. Set a regular time each day to pray. First thing in the morning is a good time. You know where you are in the morning. You wake up in bed. Maybe just set that alarm 5 minutes early. It will give you some time to pray. But it could be last thing at night or at lunchtime, whatever works for you. But set the time, schedule it in your diary, and use that time to pray. You may ask, what should I pray? Could you bring up the next slide, please, Dylan? Some people find this helpful. Either using the word ACTS or TSP. ACTS, you can just remember A for adoration. So pray that God's name be glorified, that we adore him. Confess your sins to God, say thank you to things, and then start asking your requests. Or I quite like the teaspoon. Just think of teaspoon, TSP. Thanks, sorry, please. You could, of course, use the Lord's Prayer as a template. But those are things we can simply pray for. Just think, thanks, sorry, please. One final tip, though, is I use prayer cards. And I got this idea from Paul Miller's book, A Praying Life. My first card just encourages me. Don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus said that to his followers. But I've got all sorts of things here. I've got a card for my boys. And I've got a list of particular requests, and I can add them. Tick things off as they're answered, or I can replace the card and update it. I can insert other cards as I go along. As I was looking through these, I realised that I've got a card that we meet the parish share, 2015. And we met that, didn't we? I then brought it out again, having done a big tick, and put 2016. And we met that, so I've put a big tick. I haven't yet written 2017. But I will do. And I've got various cards for various people. The wonderful thing about prayer cards is you see how God answers prayer. Too easy we forget when God answers. And he does answer prayer. I have got unanswered prayers in here as well. And I'm continuing to pray for those. So cards, ACTS, TSP, schedule a time to pray, and the red cord. You need to get praying. So as we close now, why don't you just pick up your red pieces of cord? And let's just ask for that gift of the Holy Spirit, particularly if we've never been touched by the Spirit before. And ask to go deeper with God. So Father, we do pray now that we might know your Spirit in our hearts, that we might know his presence, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know your power, that we might know your kingdom. So Holy Spirit, fill us, we pray. Amen. There'll be time during communion, as I say, tie your five knots there and start praying for people you know to come to know Jesus.